In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the things that Kim and I really like about our kids' daycare is the structure and learning that they've received. Audrey is in pre-K, and every week she learns about different subjects and topics and peoples. This past week, she learned about important figures in the civil rights movement, Rosa Parks and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. This is not the first time she has learned about Dr. King. Last year, about this same time, she had another week where she first learned about him. Right away, Audrey was fascinated by him. She even got a little upset. She was upset because she realized that he had died, and that meant she would never get to meet him. And she so badly wanted to meet him. This year, she told us that Dr. King worked to bring peace to everyone, that he worked to bring fairness to everyone. I love the way the mind of a child works. You saw a little bit of that just now. He brought fairness. I don't think I could ever sum it up better myself. She told us about the big, important speech he gave, his I Have a Dream speech. She had some questions about it. She wanted to know who it was for and who could and could not listen to it. We told her it was a speech for the whole country to hear, in fact, the whole world. It was meant for everyone. So she said, even the racists were allowed to listen? We told her yes, even them, especially them. They needed to hear his words the most. And in fact, his speech helped to make a lot fewer racists in the country. Dr. King's life and work and words are so powerful and important that they can capture the imagination of adult and child alike. We all understand what is fair and unfair, what is just and unjust. Audrey's image of Dr. King is of him on the steps of the Lincoln Monument, giving one of the most powerful speeches in our country's history. And I suspect for most of us, that is the image we carry of him. Today, I want us to reflect on a different image of Dr. King, the one of him in a jail cell in Birmingham, Alabama, a cell he was placed in because of his protesting the injustices of a racist system and racist laws. It was here that King began to write a letter addressed to 8 clergymen who had rebuked the demonstrators in their own letter. As they saw it, these demonstrators had descended, unasked for, upon Birmingham. 2 of the signatories of this letter were the Episcopal bishop and Episcopal coadjutor bishop of Atlanta, who, true to their Anglican roots based in reason and logic and neutrality, proclaimed that the residents, both Negro and white, of Birmingham ought to refrain from participation in demonstrations as organized by outsiders. Instead, the people of Birmingham ought to appeal and reappeal and wait for the courts to catch up to the desires of the people. From his cell, the accused interloper King began to compose what some believe is the closest thing to scripture written in the 20th century. In this epistle, King admonishes his fellow clergymen for the narrowness of their understanding of community. Initially, he outlines his professional connections to Birmingham, that he had and his colleagues from Atlanta had in fact been invited. Then he further explains that, like the prophets and St. Paul, they were called to spread their message beyond the borders of their hometowns. King finally explains that regardless of the invitation or his call, he would be in Birmingham nonetheless. King asserts that he would be in Birmingham and likewise anywhere there is injustice. Because, he wrote, we are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Tied in a single garment of destiny. I am certain I could spend my whole life writing and would never come up with a line so powerful and beautiful. King had a gift for language, a gift I personally believe came from God, that it was a gift of the Holy Spirit. I have that belief not only because of the effect and impact of his words, but also because of our epistle reading for today. Paul tells us that there are a variety of gifts. Some are given the gift of the utterance of wisdom, some the utterance of knowledge. To some is given the gift of faith, to some the gift of healing, to some the working of miracles, to others prophecy, and still to others the gift of various tongues and their interpretation. I believe Dr. King was given the gift of prophecy, of speaking God's truth in ways that cannot be dismissed or ignored. I believe he was given the gift of enduring strength and patience, never stopping until the moment he was gunned down to help bring God's justice to the earth. As Audrey says it, to bring fairness to everyone. Now, I'm not sure what gifts of the Spirit God has given me, but I know they are not the same as Dr. King's. But despite this, I can still share in his gifts, partake in his gifts. Paul also writes to us that our gifts are given to us not for our benefit alone, but for the common good, for the benefit of all. I may never be able to write Dr. King's words, but I can carry them. I can carry them with me in my heart, on my tongue, and in my actions. We all can. We can all share in his life and work and words, his gifts of the Spirit, with our own life, works, and words, and by sharing our gifts of the Spirit. We can call out racism for what it is, any place and time we see it. We can not only demand, but actively seek the end of unjust systems. We can put aside fear and prejudice and get to know, truly get to know someone of a group that is different from us. We can begin to see that all of us are woven together into a single garment, a garment knitted by the hands of God. Perhaps the greatest gift God has given to each of us is, in fact, each other, fellow children of God, divinely knitted by God's enduring love. And perhaps that dream of Dr. King's was not really his own dream, but was, in fact, God's dream. A world in which each of us lives out our lives in response to the love that created all of us, wrapping ourselves tightly into our shared garment of destiny and boldly claiming that destiny, where nothing is used as an excuse to separate us from one another, but instead everything is used to draw us ever closer in God's love. Amen.